BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. Betonline.ag, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined as always by Justin Southwell and Eve Batoba. And Eve, we have a special guest today.
That's right. We are talking about one of the best defensive linemen in the history of Oklahoma State football. Matter of fact, I don't know if y'all know this. Pro Football Focus College, okay, PFF, they had a list of the highest graded defensive tackles by season. And if you look at that list, 2016, the highest graded DT in the entire country was none other than Vincent Taylor out of Oklahoma State. Yo, not just one of the best defensive tackles in Oklahoma State history, one of the best specialists as well, because he was blocking kicks. He was blocking PATs, blocks on blocks on blocks, took that ability, got drafted into the NFL. I'm talking about New Orleans' very own, okay, Miami Dolphin, Houston Texan, Atlanta Falcon, Vincent Taylor, my guy. Welcome to the show, man.
Appreciate y'all for having me. I like that introduction you gave me. I feel honored. You know, I'm always humbled by everything that took place with my career and in my life, so I'm very humbled by that.
Did anyone ever call you VT the DT? Because that's cool.
I ain't gonna lie, I ain't think of that. That would have been dope, though. VT the DT. Yeah, I wish I would have met you earlier.
Yeah, I would have definitely said that if we were on the same team.
Start now. Woo!
VT the DT. Yeah, I like that.
Nah, I love it. I love it, man. Joe, you give a little update, man. What are you up to right now?
Before talking to you, I just left yoga. But, man, I got some good news. You know, me coming off an injury last year with Atlanta, I actually got cleared today at 12 o'clock by the doctor.
Let's go.
That was a blessing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to, you know, what happens after the draft. That's coming up. I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing from teams and everything.
Man, that's very exciting. Yeah, man. I know if there's one thing that I know is how hard you work, man. Mm-hmm. Like your resilience through your whole journey and your career path. I remember back whenever you were at the Dolphins, me and you, we used to work out together back when you were rehabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And I had to let
I used to be like, well, Eve doing though, I gotta do more. But you know, I think as I get older and then like, you know, I was talking to my trainer like last week and I was just telling him, man, if I knew what I knew now, like coming into the league, I feel like, you know, my body would be different. You know, football come with injuries and all that. But like when I go in the gym, he be telling me, like, you got to slow down. I'll be trying to go in there and get it in. But I'm learning to, like, you got to let your body rest and do all this other stuff, too.
You got that Coach Glass mindset still.
That's nah, real talk, though. I do, for real, for real. Just hit it.
Because like the injury recovery for Coach Glass is you're on the sidelines on a bike, you're doing abs, bike, yeah, all kinds of stuff, you know, and there's no rest.
Ain't no resting. Yeah, you still getting that work when you don't think you're working. Why they practice?
No, no doubt about it. Yeah, you're probably working harder whenever you're on the sidelines than you are during the practice.
That's why I stayed away. I didn't care if I was injured. I was like, I'm doing everything I can to avoid the sidelines.
Yeah, you got
that's
yeah,
where the real work is over there.
You get it in on that sideline. Especially with those tempo runs too. If you got like an upper body injury with Glass, he gonna find a way to run you.
No question. You be coming back in better shape than everybody else. You're like, how did this happen? Man, yo, well, you know, this week is draft week. You know, guys, tonight, right? This airs on Thursday, so you got night one kicking off and people are going to have their dreams come true. Yeah. Man, what was the NFL draft week like for you and your family?
Oh, it was crazy. You know, me, I kind of, the first day, I ain't going the first day. I actually went on the third day, but I think a lot of guys get it like confused that it don't matter where you go. It's about what you do with your opportunity, you know? And me going sixth round, you know, I remember when the Dolphins drafted me, I was actually on the phone with the Oakland Raiders. Cause I guess, you know, when you go later in the rounds, the draft just start going fast. So
yeah,
like
everybody starts bidding.
But the time you look on the you're going to be off the phone call, but time it's shown on TV. So you already know what's going on. And I remember I was on the phone actually with Oakland. This one, it was in Oakland at the time, but I was on the phone with the Raiders and 305 number come by. I think it was Mike Tannenbaum and it was Chris Greer. And I wound up clicking over, you know what I'm saying? And Oakland was like, yeah, we about to select you. And then I clicked over because me, like, on draft day, you get numbers from phone numbers you don't know. So you got to answer because that could be a team calling you. So I was on the line with the Raiders, and I remember clicking over the Dolphins, and it was Chris Grin. Tannenbaum had called me, and it was like, yeah, we about to pick you. How you feel about being a Miami Dolphin? So, like, I feel like I could have ended up in Oakland, or I could have ended up in Miami. So it just happened to work out. You know, I ended up in Miami, and I tell people all the time I'm grateful for the opportunity because, like, you know, I think going to Miami so young, that taught me a lot. It taught me how to grow up fast. And, you know, like I said, going to Miami, like, I learned a lot. And, like, I feel like I grew up out there.
So you say, okay, you're on the phone with the Raiders, then mm-hmm. the Dolphins are calling you. So were the Raiders after the Dolphins on the board at that time?
I think it was.
They were going to take you?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's how it was. Because, again, like, you know, like, tomorrow, when a draft come on Thursday, you know, the first round, that whole thing, all the whole draft is on TV. But the first round, like, you know, you got – they taking their time with it, like, so it can play out on TV. But when you go later in the draft, you know, it's going by fast. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I was off the call and knew where I was going before it even came on TV. And that's that way my family was able to see it come on TV with the phone. They had their phones and everything ready. So, like I said, man, it was a crazy experience. But I ain't gonna lie, it was crazy and it was a blessed experience. But it also could be stressful for guys, you know, waiting on that call, thinking like, damn, like, did I make a mistake by coming out early or even going back to school? But like I said, man, it ain't about where you go. It's about what you do with your opportunity, man. A crazy story. I remember, I think Eve, you probably was there. When the hurricane, I guess they had a hurricane come to Florida in 17, and we wind up going, I think it was Oxford with the Dallas
Cowboys. Oxford, California. Yeah.
We was playing the Chargers at the time, and they was in in San Diego playing in the Lasaka Stadium or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember you know, I'm a 6th round draft pick, you know. I don't know how it worked. I know 53 people make the team, but only I think 47 dress on game day. Mm-hmm. So man, I remember Terrell Williams was the D-line coach at the time. Again, I'm young, I'm in the lead, I'm trying to figure out how it worked. You know, I go to the locker room, I'm not gonna be active. T had already told me, so again, I don't know how it worked. And I remember like 30 minutes before the game, man, Eve, one of the linebackers went missing, man.
No, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that. But a guy on our team went missing.
He went AWOL, like, he went literally AWOL
right before the game. Coach come up to me. He like, yeah, you actor. I'm actor. Coach, you just told me I wasn't actor. But the guy, you know, I don't want nobody to go missing. But thank God he did, because I was able to get an opportunity, you know. So, like, I played in the first game. I remember, believe it or not, my first play in the in a game, man, I had a TFL. I was like, all right, I could get used to this. So, man, you know, I just started working my way in. But again, man, the NFL, you learn a lot coming in. When I was coming in, I was, again, so young. I was learning, like, how it worked, you know?
Bro, I just got it.
Yeah, hey, it's so funny. You know what I'm talking about?
It's one of the craziest memories that I ever had.
You mentioned that. Like, that was – Eve was actually – you know, kind of displaced or whatever, staying with me in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And I just remember that whole thing unraveling. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but Eve is like the most stressed out I've ever seen him in his life. This man, for the most part, he's pretty level-headed on everything, but
he that went one was into
a
that.
Different story.
You don't want nobody to go missing before game day, but you know what I'm saying? I appreciate you. I got an opportunity. So, like, it was a good experience, though.
Yeah, it was one of the wildest things. Like, we saw him go into the meeting, and then nobody ever saw him again.
When did they find him?
They found him, like, while the game was going on. Yeah.
He was found.
Yeah, he was for sure was found. But, man, that was crazy, though, man. So, Eve, you know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah. One of the craziest things ever. And that's the thing. Like, you never know when your opportunity is going to come. And the thing about VT is whenever – I want to say this was year two – you were like second in the NFL in tackles for defense.
That was when I was with Chris, man, the D-line coach for San Fran at the time. That's when I was playing some of my best ball. But again, you know, injuries take place. And then, like I said, man, even learning about the NFL coming in, you know, like that surprised me the first game that I was active when I thought I wasn't going to be active. And then from ever since then, like, you know, going into the NFL, you know, Monday – you'll come in and watch film, and then Tuesday is the day off in the NFL. Then Wednesdays is like your heavy practice. So Wednesday, like, you know, again, shout out to the special coach too, Riz, when I was at the Dolphins, man. Like,
Coach Riz, yeah. One of the best special teams coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, I remember he was telling the guys before I even came in, you know, I got a guy from Oklahoma State coming, and he blocked kicks or whatever. So, like, me, like, after that first game, I used to just go look. Because this at the time when the NFL allowed big guys to be on the wedge for kickoff.
Yep.
So, like, I used to go look at the depth chart, and I used to knew, all right, I'm first on this. I could get in on special teams right here, and I'm on field goal block because I know that's what I'm good at. So, I know if I'm on that week, you know, I'm active. And then I know being on special team, that's going to come with defensive plays. So, you know, I used to always go look at special teams first and be like, all right, if I'm on the depth chart, I'm active. And like I said, I came with a defensive play, so I kind of worked my way into the rotation.
To that point, I mean, so many guys are going to get drafted this weekend, and they're going to make a roster for special teams. So what advice do you have for those guys who, you know, might be like, I really want to be whatever position I'm playing, but the path could be special teams?
Man, I think when guys come to the league, that's one thing you gotta embrace, you know, special teams. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was something that happened with me in college. You know, I think probably with Oklahoma State, I want to say I got like the school record for the most blocks in school history or something like that. I'm not sure, but you know, that's where it started from. Like that, I remember Coach Clemens. You know, that's how we used to start practice off at Oklahoma State with field goal block, and I just took advantage of that, man. Then that kind of helped me out in the NFL. You know, like I said, I used to go in the building, look at the special team depth chart. If I'm on that, I know I'm active during game day, and I know that's going to come with defensive snaps. So for guys that's coming in, you know, even though you might be a running back or a linebacker, you got to embrace yourself and get on them special teams, especially coming in as a young guy, as a rookie, you know. And again, I went 6 rounds, so, like, ain't nothing was guaranteed, you know. So I had to pretty much work hard to make that 53-man roster, and I thank God. And I had good veterans like Sue, Cam Wake, and older guys, Will Hayes, who in my room that kind of helped me out. And I remember one time Sue pulled me to the side because, you know, coming in the league, I feel like stuff was going fast, but
and my foot was too.
All over the place. And I remember Sue pulling me to the side and just told me to take my time. And, you know, I just started getting used to things. So, like, I think coming in the league, you know, you got to know your role, get on special teams or wherever you can help the team out. Because at the end of the day, like I said, 53 guys going to make it, but only 47 going to suit up on game day.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Like, things fly by, and you got to be ready whenever your number is called. So, man, let me ask you. I remember, man, just watching you at OK State, because we missed each other on the team by just a couple seasons, right?
Hold up. So, I know, like, my freshman year, I know Jeffco was there. You wasn't there, was you?
Yeah, so that would have been what, 2014?
My first year was 20 – I graduated school 13, so yeah, my first year at Oklahoma State was 13.
It was 13, okay, yeah. So my last season was 2012. So my last game played was in January 2013.
Okay, yeah, so that was right before I got there.
Yeah, we had just missed each other. And I remember, man, watching you your junior year. Mm-hmm. And you over there, not only – I think you had, like, a fumble recovery. You started returning the recovery, sprinting down, pitching that thing. I don't even remember who you pitched
it to. With Trey Flower. Yeah.
Hey, you were moving.
Yeah.
I remember, I was like, who is this guy? Like, just always just seems to be around the ball.
I got a funny story on that. Hold on.
Yeah,
go ahead. So to set this thing, all right, this is 2016. We're coming off, like, a 10-win season in 2015.
That was what, the Cactus Bowl?
Yeah, so we Cactus Bowl was Washington.
Yeah, right?
It was Washington, yeah.
Then 2015 comes. I think we ended up going like 10-0 to start off the year, and then lost the last three games, including the bowl game to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And so we're coming in 2016. It's like new uniforms. All right, we're looking good, and then we dropped one to Central Michigan. Rando off the cuff.
It was really a win, but we
we start off that year 2-2, and we're coming into this game against Texas. So like this is like the biggest momentum swing probably I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It was probably like 75 degrees that day, but it seemed a lot hotter, right? But we're out there in all black.
Mm-hmm.
I was we're looking clean, okay. But good luck to the guys out there in all black on this hot day. Anyway. It's like kind of we get out to a huge like jump and it's like 14-0. Texas is coming back. They get a touchdown. They score another one. So yeah, it's 14-13.
Swoops, I want to say. Swoops ran in for a touchdown.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was looking pretty good. I was getting a little worried. I was getting nervous there for a minute. But it's 14-13. You block the extra point
Mm-hmm.
All right. So not only did you block it, but you picked it up and you're running down this thing. You pitched it like better than a lot of quarterbacks I've seen.
Right, right.
Like, what's the deal? This guy is just complete stud. Takes it in for, you know, the 2-point conversion. So we're up 16-13 at that point, and ended up, you know, being the momentum swing that we needed. Cause I think from that point on, I think we won out the rest of the games.
Yeah, right. Right.
Except for the end of the year. But man, that was awesome. Like, I just remember being up in the stands and I'm like, this dude, like, best D tackle I've ever seen. I love it. And of course you're just making impacts like that. So I had to throw that story out there, cause that's from my perspective up there and like, you know, 309 or something.
Yeah. I appreciate that. But I like to have fun. And then, you know, me and Trey Flowers, we went to middle school together. So like,
oh, I didn't know that.
We went to middle school together, and then we went to the same college, so we've been to each other. So, like, to be able to do that, like, you know, I was just in the moment, man. And I think I had, like, 2 blocks that game, and I remember Darian had one. We just had a block party that game.
Yeah. I mean, your presence was felt, too, because there was another one that he just completely missed. And he was
he did miss one. Yes, it was a long day for us.
We're definitely trying to stay away from VT that game.
Yeah,
man, absolutely love that. What went into your decision to forego your senior year and say, "Hey, I'm entering the draft"?
That's a good question, man. Just knowing where I come from, everybody have a story, and you know, I know where I come from. And like you just mentioned, Justin, we went to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl to play Ole Miss, a city where I was from. And then a year after, you know, we go play in the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio. So really, I got like that whole experience, like me coming up from New Orleans, going back to play my last game in the Sugar Bowl. And then me being relocated after Hurricane Katrina to go where I moved to San Antonio to go play in the Alamo Bowl to finish my career. It's like, what more can you ask for? So really just talking with agents and everything, man. Like, I didn't know, I had already graduated. So if I would have came back, I would have been working on probably like a master's or another degree. So that was one of the things I was looking at too. And then also, like, you got to think, like, when you go to the NFL, like, it's a young person lead. So, you know what I'm saying? You're going, if I would have went back to school another year, you got to think that would have been a year that I would have been putting my dreams of going to the NFL. And I wouldn't even say dreams, because, you know, first thing guys say when they get drafted, oh, it was always my dream to go to the NFL. You know, I was just taking mine step by step. Like, when I was in high school, you know, getting my first offer from Bell, and then Coach Spencer calling me, offering me from Oklahoma State. Like, moving from New Orleans to San Antonio, like, you know, football big in Louisiana, but it's even bigger in Texas. So, like, that whole thing was new to me. Like, I didn't know what the SAT was, the ACT, until I moved to San Antonio, Texas. Like, I didn't know what rivalries was when you go to the Nike camps and get stars and all that. So all that was new to me. So, like I said, I was just taking it process by process. When I went to high school, I was thinking about, all right, going to college. When I went to college, then I started thinking. I didn't start thinking about the lead until somebody said, you good enough to go to the NFL. And that's when I was, you know, I just took it and ran with it.
So you were in college when you were like, I actually could make it as a
professional. Right. To be honest, like, you know, like I said, when I was in high school, I was thinking about going to college. I was always good in football and in sports in general. And I remember my sophomore year in football, I was able to play on ESPN because we had the number one running back going against the number two running back when we played Cibolo Steel. The school where Jordan Stearns went to. And like I said, it was the number one running back versus the number two running back in high school. And I went out there and made a couple of plays and got my name out there. And, you know, going back to school that Monday, getting letters from different colleges, but I was just a sophomore at the time. It was all new to me. So, like I said, I just took it step by step.
Wow. Hey, there's something to be said about being exactly where your feet are planted, not thinking too far ahead, just dominating. The moment. I tell you, there are a couple guys out of Oklahoma State who are trying to be where their feet are planted this week, but they got a real opportunity to make it to the next level. You got Tyler Lacey. You got Jason Taylor II. Those are, you know, projected.
That's my cousin saying last night.
Tyler. Wait, hold on.
Also, too, though, man, like, I remember, like, when my time I was going through Oklahoma State, like, back to taking it step by step, you know. When I seen guys like Jimmy and E-Man come before me, like, you know, seeing E-Man get drafted, like, I remember telling E-Man one day, like, I'm a beat up, bro. Like, you motivated me. And, like, to this day, that's, like, my best friend. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you see E-Man, you're going to probably see me, vice versa, you know. And
the man.
he was one of the guys that like kind of like pushed me. I was already motivated, like I said, because I know where I came from. But to see somebody come before me and go to the NFL that played, that was in the same D-line room with me, I used that as motivation too.
Yeah, it was crazy. Actually, one day at the facility, I don't know what I was doing there. It was probably like 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably just wrapping up some work or something like that. Just one of those late nights in the office. And I hear music is going on in the locker room, in the weight room.
I used to go in there late at night.
Yeah, yeah. VT used to be there late at night. So I'm in there. VT is doing his cardio, working up a sweat.
Nah,
really. He's outside. Like, he's out there. I'm like, what in the world? Who's this other guy that's in here? So yeah. I'm looking around. I'm peeking. I'm like, I do not recognize this person as part of the Dolphins football team.
Yeah.
I go around the corner. It's Jimmy Bean.
I did bring Jimmy in there. Yeah.
He was playing for the Oakland Raiders, I think, at the time.
He was in Miami at the time.
And I'm like, bro, what are you doing here? Why are you at the Dolphins training facility? He was like, yeah, man, VT brought me in, man. We just over here getting a late night session in.
I used to go in there and get it in, dog.
Super random, man. I think that just goes to show, man, the Cowboys football family, man, stays with you and it goes even beyond just those walls, man. Have you been paying attention at all to the guys who could potentially get drafted this year?
That's going into the draft, this upcoming draft?
Tyler Lacy, Jason Taylor.
Like, he one of the guys, like, you know, I had a few people ask about him. You know, he younger than me, but, like, I know who he is just from watching the game. But I think he have a very good chance of getting drafted. I also think the safety, Taylor, he got a chance to get drafted, you know.
All-American.
All-American. Like you said, like, you know, if those guys watch this podcast or listening to it, like, it don't matter where you go. It's about what you do with your opportunity, you know. I think, like, you know, it's like point some of guys, athletes that make it to the league. So it's very hard. But again, it ain't about where you go. It's about what you do when you get in there. And I think those two guys, you know, they got a good chance of getting drafted. But not only that, you know, guys that may not get drafted from Oklahoma State, you know, if y'all get a call to be a free agent, you know, just go in there and put your best foot forward.
You said, you know, you are a 6th round draft pick. You keep saying, doesn't matter where you go, it's what you do with that. And I 100% agree with that. Where were you anticipating going based on all your pre-draft conversations with teams and such?
One thing I could say for sure, like, you know, you know, when you go to combine, it's a long process. You have informal meetings, then you have formal meetings. Informal is the one teams you meet with outside of, like, if you just see them, you know, in a train station, but you got formal meetings where you go into it with like the GM, the head coach, and your position guy. So I kind of knew Miami was going to be one of the teams that I got drafted to, just because that was one of the meetings that I had in person with, like, you know, the D-line coach and Chris Grill and like the head coach, the GM, the head coach, and the D-line coach. So Miami was one of the team I had a formal with. So me getting drafted by them, I was like, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was one of the teams that I met with. So for me to get drafted there, it made sense.
Were you expecting to go day 3? I'm asking because there are guys every year from Oklahoma State or not who are, they're told, you know, you might be a 2nd or 3rd round pick, and then they're not until day 3. So my point is, like, what is your advice to those guys who might have been given an earlier projection and they don't go until day 3? How do they deal with their emotions of the will I or won't I get the call?
I just say, man, be around good people. Like, if your family truly supports you, they're not worrying about what round you go or whatever. Like, if they support you, they all in, you know. And that was one of the things that was with my family. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my family, everybody that came to my draft party, they stayed from the first day all the way to the last day. So to get that call while everybody was around, you know, to me, like, I'm the first person in my family to make it to that level of sports. So, like, to be the youngest one of my grandsons, like, you know, I feel like it didn't matter where I was gonna go, like, just to have that opportunity, like, I know my family was happy for me.
What did you do for your draft party all week? Where's the party?
It was actually in Houston, because my brother was living out here at the time, and it's crazy, I had just bought a house in Houston, so Houston was always a place that I kind of always seen myself being and getting a house at. So my draft party was out here in Houston, and you know, guys who might think, you know, they might not get the call, man. Like, it's good to watch the draft, but try to stay busy. Like, try to be around, like I said, your family, be around people that truly care for you.
Now, you know that, you know, there was a huge transfer, just huge evacuation that happened at Oklahoma State after the season ended. Gundy came out and he said, look, a lot of that is on me. I got kind of complacent. Look, I need to have, you know, I need to make sure that I stay on top of my game as a coach as well. Yeah. So many things have transpired over the last 6 months as part of the program. What do you think about the state of Oklahoma State football right now?
You know, I never talk down on that because that's a place that I played at, you know. Coach Clemens still there, a guy that coached me. And some of the other coaches like Coach Dovey and a lot of other coaches that are still there. But with Gundy, man, I just think that, like, you know, I think you could get more former guys, like, involved with, you know, coming back there, whether it's for the spring game or even just being around different recruits, you know, especially, like, with that NIL thing going on right now. You know, I think with that going on, like, we as Oklahoma State, like, we have to apply pressure just how these other schools are applying pressure, you know, try to get them 5-4 stars. And that don't even really matter, you know. Once you get in there with Coach Glass, he's going to get you right and have you ready to play on Saturday. But with Oklahoma State, man, like, take advantage of the transfer portal, you know. Do what you got to do to keep guys around, you know. Guys coming there, like, you got to keep up with the way things are now. Like, when I was in school, they ain't had an NIL deal. So now, you know, guys going to school just off of that. So, you know, you got to apply that pressure. Like, Oklahoma State, we got to apply that pressure so that we could get those big-time guys and mainly get those guys that's in Oklahoma, you know, keep those guys home.
Hey, VT, we need you to start a collective, man. I know you got it. I know you got it.
One day I might want to come coach at Oklahoma State, you know. Bring guys there. Like, so, you know, like I said, I never talked down on that because that was a school that gave me an opportunity. So, like, but I think if we could take advantage of that NIL stuff and the portal, man, keep guys there, I think Oklahoma State going to be just fine.
Do you ever reach out to, like, any of the, you know, players, maybe, like, defensive tackle, your position group or anything like that at Oklahoma State and kind of offer, like a mentor type of relationship? Do you ever think about doing anything like that?
I would. I don't have a problem with, you know, reaching out to guys, you know, because I was a guy that went through the whole process. I went through the college thing. I went through the draft thing. I'm, you know, in the NFL right now to where I'm at. So if young guys out there, you know, if they ever was to reach out to me, even on social media, you know, I follow some of those guys on social media. I think Brandon Evans, he was out there training where I trained at Bomarito's in Florida, you know. I had a few DMs with him. It wasn't nothing crazy, though. But, like, if guys like that or anybody – you know, at Oklahoma State, ever feel like they want to reach out to me and ask me just what the process was or what it was like, you know, how you deal with certain things. Now, you know, that's what, you know, older guys are here for, you know, because I know when I was coming out, I needed guys to talk to, like I mentioned, the Sues, the Canwick, like older guys. So if guys at that level, you know, they feel like they want to reach out and have any questions about anything, I'll be here to answer them.
Love it.
No, you got to love that, man. Have you had a chance to just keep up with Brian Nardo? We got a brand new defensive coordinator. Last season we had one defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He decided that he wanted to take kind of a leave of absence, And, man, just what do you think that OK State fans can expect? That's number one. And number two, is it more stressful to be a player or is it more stressful to be a fan on the outside?
I hear what you're saying, but answer that again. I like the way you answer that. That's why I'm only having you, like, repeat it. Is it? Because I'm thinking about what you said. I know what you said, but I'm trying to see how I'm going to answer.
No doubt. One, what can we expect? What do you think we can expect from Oklahoma State's defense? There was a nice run there where OK State was, one of the premier defenses in the country. So I think that's question number one. Let's just leave it at that for now.
Really, man, you need guys that's really gonna buy in. And I think it starts with recruiting, but also you gotta hold guys at a higher level, at a higher standard. I think we as Oklahoma State, you know, we think about, all right, if we make it to a bowl game, that's a successful season. Like, I was just telling somebody that the other day, like, man, Oklahoma State, like, we gotta get it, man. We think because we go to a bowl game, that's a winning season. Like, we need to be trying to get in the college football championship, you know, especially when they expand it. Like, that's gonna give us another opportunity. And don't get me wrong, Oklahoma State always been a good program. Like, we're a good program. But, you know, we had those games where we'll probably fall off, or we'll start off good and then we'll have a slope. And then, you know, stuff start happening. Like, I know a lot of guys got injured. Like, the Brandon guy, he had got injured. Mm-hmm. I think, man, just start, like I said, with the recruiting and who you bringing in there. You know, you got to bring guys in there that want to play, that's going to have that dog mentality and that's going to buy in. But also, like, you know, start with Coach Gundy. Him being a head coach, you know, you got to have a good coaching staff around you. Guys, again, that's going to buy in and that's going to set the standard, because that's where it started at the end of the day with the coaches. players don't only do what you allow them to do, or, you know.
Yeah. Ever since you left the program, do you find it easier to – is it less stressful to be a player on the team or to be a fan of the team? Like, which one do you think just brings you more stress?
I would say a fan, because at the end of the day, you being a fan, you can't control how the game gonna go because you're not out that plan. But, you know, like, it'd be – like I said, man, when you start off, like, you know, I think it was 1 year. It probably was, like, last year. So I think we was in, like, the top – five or something, and we just started losing, and that dropped us out of the, like, being ranked and everything. I just think, you know, with a program, everything you do in life, you got to be consistent. So, like, I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, Gundy got to hold guys at a higher standard. Because at the end of the day, like, me going through that program, like, I know what Coach Glass brings. Like, I know he going to get it out to you. He going to have you ready to play, like, you know, not just in the weight room, but on the field. But also, like, he going to make sure – you're doing the right thing. I don't know what it was. I was at Oklahoma State. Like, me, I was never a guy that had off-the-field issues or none of that. Like, you know, I try to keep my record clean. But I don't know what must have happened one day. I probably was late for something or missed class or something. And I remember doing 300 flights on a semester. I told myself, I'd never do this again. Like,
yeah, I've been there.
Again. Like, 300, like, with the coach watching you, I remember that's when Coach True was there at the time. He used to work calling guys cat dad. But man, like
Cat Daddy,
like doing 300 yard step master, I told myself never again.
Yeah, because it's not just the 300. You got to do your workout after that.
You got to do your workout too. And I remember. Bruh,
I have no idea how we used to survive 300 flights of Stairmasters. I don't get it.
I remember being in the weight room one time, man. You know, Eve, we do 25, 50, 10 with the for the app. And I guess, you know, they got mirrors all around in the weight room. Coach Glass must have seen a guy cheating the reps or something. He was like, start this shit over. I remember full workout over. Like, Coach Glass just started workout over real quick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he holds players to a higher standard, and he expect leaders to be leaders.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the workouts, 25 toe touches, 50 twists, and then 10 V-ups. And then you got three sets of that.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, he must have caught a guy cheating or something. What he said, start the whole workout over.
Yeah, hey, I still do 25, 50, 10 to this day.
The 25.
See, for perspective, the Empire State Building only has 86 flights. So you're doing more than three Empire State Buildings.
Yeah, so you do the math.
That's
crazy.
That's
and
a lot.
You ain't know I'm gonna do 150 and then I'm gonna do the other 150. Now you're doing that 300 at one time.
You gotta do the whole thing.
I did that one time at Oklahoma State. I told myself I'd never do that again.
Yeah.
Then you know I'm a big guy, so I ain't moving all fast like them little position guys. Man, like I said, that was a rough day.
So do you guys remember, was there a time limit on that, or was I making that up?
Now, it was whenever you get done. The only way you was getting off that if you had class. You still coming back to finish them. That was the only thing you was getting off them stem master.
I think maybe the one time that I did it, and I only did it one time, I was the exact same mindset as you. I'm never doing this again. I'm going to be here early. But I remember thinking that I had to do it in an hour, and I don't know if that was just me.
So you were getting it.
Man, it was rough.
Yeah, no way. Yeah, there's no chance I could do it under an hour.
Yeah, that got real.
I'm like kind of curious to see how long it would take me.
Jay, do it.
All you gotta do is go do it.
I know. Oh, I don't know.
More power to you.
Maybe one day. I don't know. I'm competitive, so
yeah.
I don't think I can do it under an hour. I'm just curious to see, or I might get to 100 flights and be like, no, I'm good. I'm
good. Yeah, multiplied by 3.
300. You ever did them? 300 flights?
Who, me?
Yeah,
one time. Exact same as y'all. You do it one time, you never want to do it again.
I can't do it.
Yep.
BT, when was the last time you were back in Stillwater?
It was 2 years after I left. So it was when they played OU. It was when they played OU. It was for Bellum. That was the last time I came back. I think that was like 2019. Yeah, 2019 was the last time I came back. But again, man, that's another thing. Like I said, I think, like, former guys, like, you know, if we could get back and show our faces, I think that'll also help recruits or other people want to go to Oklahoma State, but also getting us involved. You know, I be seeing a lot of guys that go to other schools, you know, they go back to those schools. So I just think, you know, I got to find my way to get back there, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
I was asking because I was walking into BPS the other day and I just happened to look, like, walk by the front with the pro shop and the Boone statue. I look up, I'm like, wait a second. What was your reaction when you saw yourself on the outside of Boone Pickens?
Man, that was a blessing because I remember, like, you know, I used to walk into, like, the facility when I was there. You know, you got Barry Sanders on the wall. You got Justin Blackman. You got Jay Gill on the wall, Dez Bryant. Then you had the quarterback.
Russell Okung.
You had Russell Okung on the wall. You had number 10, Clinton Show. You had guys like that on the wall. So I'm like, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? These guys, you walk in here, you see these guys, like, they ain't just on the wall because they on the wall. They on the wall because, like, these are guys that's known, but also that came through the program and did damage. So I remember, I think it was Jordan Burton. I remember him sending it to me. That's when he was a recruiting guy at Oklahoma State, and just saying, I'm like, damn, like, that's a legendary, like, you know, like, one day, hopefully I can bring my kids back and they could see that.
And I know that Coach Gundy's got your NFL jersey up on his wall somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope he do. I mean, every guy that came before me that went to the NFL, they jersey on the wall. So Gundy should have my jersey up. Yeah,
did you have definitely to send it to him, or?
I think we used to send it to Justin. Even to this day, you know, I still be in contact with Justin, the equipment man. He'll text me just to ask me how things going. When I'm coming back. Even he'll be sending me messages about the little legendary golf thing that they be having during the spring game. So Justin, he's a stand-up guy. He's a guy that I still be in contact with to this day.
For all the YouTube listeners out there, the last time that I went to a game at Oklahoma State, I looked up at the screen. I saw this picture. I had to take the photo on my phone. It's a huge picture of Vincent Taylor right there. I sent it straight to you.
I remember that. Hey, let me see.
Can't get away from VT, man, wherever I go.
Oh, yeah, shout out to you too, though, E, because you wrote a book, right?
Yeah, wrote a book.
I got your book. Okay. Matter of fact, it's on my bookshelf. Matter of fact, yeah, I remember because you sent it to me in Atlanta. And the linebacker coach Bush, he was reading it because, you know, he was at Miami too with
him. Bro, Coach Bush bought like 100 copies.
Yeah, because he was I'm going to bring you one tomorrow. Me, I'm like, God, we're going to see Bush. And he actually bought me one. So, man, that's legit. Okay. I like how you got the little pictures in there, though, throughout the book too, man. That's dope, man. Just seeing how you came up. Like I said, everybody got a story, man. That's your story.
Justin's in it. He's in a picture.
Yeah, that's dope. I like that.
Hang around Eve long enough and something good will happen.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. You need good people around you, though. That was one of the things I learned at the business combine, man. Like being with Caleb and Chip and all those other guys that's a part of Pat.
Tell us a little bit about that, right? So you have what's called the Pro Athlete Combine, the Pro Athlete Community, and the Business Combine is something that took place during the offseason for guys across the NFL to really come in and do a deep dive on the inner workings of all things business, real estate, investing, public speaking, everything that you could possibly dream of. And you got to participate in that this past offseason, man. How was that for you?
Man, it was great, man. It was a great experience, you know, with Caleb and Chip and the rest of those guys, what they doing, man, just the people they brought in to talk to us. But also, I think it helped me out a lot because it helped me come out of my comfort zone. You know, we had to talk. You know, I don't really be good at talking on mics, but, you know, that was one of the things I was telling Caleb, like, you know, I don't just want to come to the business combine and say, I attended it. Like, I want to come there and get something out of it. And, like, that was one of the things that helped me come out of my comfort zone. But also, I learned a lot because that it let me know, like, what it is that I wanted to get involved with after my playing career was over. And I think real estate was one of the things that I do want to get involved with. And, you know, being a coach and just like you mentioned, I think it was Justin and Megan, y'all mentioned, like, do I ever talk to, like, any of the younger guys? Like, you know, being somebody that younger guys look up to, like a leadership program or anything like that. So I've definitely found out a lot about myself when I went to the business combine. And like I was telling you guys before the podcast, like, you know, that just helped me with what I wanted to do or what I'm interested in getting in.
Yeah, and you currently have a couple businesses down in Houston or San Antonio, don't you?
Man, it's crazy because I actually just sold my barbershop in February.
And the Heroes? So
the thing about it, me, I don't go to San Antonio a lot. So that was kind of one of the reasons why I was like, all right. And then I'll cut hair. I really did it to give my business partner. That was some of the things he wanted to do. A guy that always used to cut my hair, you know, and he wanted to open up his own spot because he was familiar with cutting hair. I ain't know nothing about it, but, you know, if I'm close with somebody and I'm with my people, if I can help my people out, that's what I'm going to do. Love you know, it. So just being surrounded with the right people, man. One of the quotes they had used at the combine was like, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go as a team. And that was just one of the things I always think about. So you got to for sure make sure you got the right people around you. I know how Justin was saying, like, he's been around Eve a long time. That's good people. If you're still around a person for this long, y'all must be doing something right together.
My guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's your degree in?
Education. But like I said, after going to that business camp, like, I'm thinking about going to get my master's, because, you know, that's something the NFL pay for. And I think we as guys in the NFL, I think that's something that we got to take advantage of. I was talking to, like, a vet in the league, and he was like, man, don't nobody really be knowing what I be into during the offseason. Like, you know, people just be thinking I'm working out. Man, I be actually in school getting my degree. And hearing Ronnie Hudson talk, a guy that played center for Arizona, like an older guy, talking to him at the business combine, he was just telling me, like, how he went to school during the offseason and stuff. So I think, you know, if the NFL pay for it, why not go get that? So I think that's one of the things that I think I do want to do.
That's awesome. I love that so much. Mm. Just like life coaching with VT. You know, you need your own podcast too.
Real talk. I do need a lot of people be telling me that. I do need to start a podcast. I think
1,000%.
Podcast the new wave though right now. So what y'all doing right now? I like it. That's dope.
And I also just think that listening to you and everything that you said in your journey, it is really inspiring, because so many guys, like, from the time they're six, you know, I could look through my 7th grade yearbook,
right,
and I guarantee there were at least 10 guys that were like, I want to be a professional, insert sport here.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Like I said, not to cut you off, like I said, like, when a lot of guys get drafted, you know, that's going to be one of the first things they say, oh, it was always my dream to go to the NFL or do this and that. With me, like, I don't know, I was blessed to go to the NFL, blessed to be in the NFL. But with me, I just took it pathway by pathway. I was in high school thinking about going to college. When I got to college, then I started thinking about pro. But and then, like I said, always knowing where I come from too. Like, I knew football helped me out so much because that was my way out.
Yeah. You got to get back on campus to talk to this team and set them up for life, man.
I think, Eve, then you go back and talk to them one time, right?
Yeah, well, a couple times. But not only did I go back and talk, you are actually one of the players that I always bring up as an example of, like, yo, this is somebody that sat in the exact same seats that you guys were in, did his thing, understood how to watch film, keep his pad level low, got to the NFL, was second in the league and got in defensive tackles that were leading the league in tackles, and then just, boom, kept climbing, you know, still doing it.
Young guys need to see that, because, you know, sometimes, like, people don't think they got what it take. But, like, if you see somebody, like I mentioned, like, me seeing E-Man get drafted, and you in the same D-line room as me, we got the same D-line coach, I said, E-Man. Like, I told him, I'm like, E-Man, you're going to be the reason why I be the next one to come out of Oklahoma State. Like, seeing you go, I know that, you know, you somebody I hang around. So I know if you go, I know that's going to motivate me to want to go to where you going.
And speaking of which, I know Megan's going to like this because she's a Patriots fan. So whenever E-Man came out, he was the 32nd overall pick.
Right.
But he wasn't a first-round pick. Because the Patriots had one of their picks taken away from them.
Right.
All that cheating that they do. So, yeah. So, technically, I still say E-Man was a first-round pick.
But to be honest, though, another thing, too, though, like, what a lot of people don't know, like, people probably do know, and I ain't going to say a lot of people don't know, but, like, say a guy that, you know, like E-Man, like how you say he went 32, so technically that's first round, but it's listed as second round.
Patriots.
Right, so things like that, like, guys rather go second round than to go, like, 32 or 30, because, like, you want you're closer to getting to that next contract. You know, if you go first round, a team got the opportunity to hit you with the fifth round option. So a lot of guys rather be that first or second round pick. Not first, but be that first or second pick in the second round.
Yeah, if you go in the first round, the team has control over you for 5 years.
For 5 years rather than four, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, little tricks of the trades right there. So if you get out the first round, don't be so mad. You get to get to the next contract.
You get to that second contract of your fair. But now another thing, though, Eve, I be keeping up with your journey, man, with what you're doing on Instagram, you know, talking about the CBA, talking about the agent fees and everything. So, you know, you're doing your thing on that. So I want to commend you on that, congratulate you on that. Keep that. I'll be watching them, bro. I'll be watching them.
I appreciate it.
Section 134 in the CBA.
Empower the players, man. That's what it's all about. Make sure they
have. You ever thought about getting with the NFLPA? Like, if that was something you'll be interested in?
Maybe down the line, not right now.
Not right now.
Yeah, got some fun, exciting projects that I'm working on that I'll tell you about some other time.
Yeah, that's dope. Wow, that's good, man. As long as you know what it is you want to do.
Yes, sir. VT, if you end up back at Oklahoma State, you know, Eve is probably going to take that route too.
I'm going to speak into existence, man. One day I'm going to be the D-line coach, though. You know what I'm saying? When I'm done playing, I'll be the D-line coach.
Come on. Hey, we got VT D-line coach, Jamie Blatnick being the strength and conditioning coach, J.W. Walsh, the head coach.
We got Eve being the player personnel. You're going to have Rod Johnson job when he retires.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, we got it all planned out, man. Look, just let it play out.
And then, you know, Vic doing this. Vic, I don't know how to say his last
name. Osaki.
Osaki. That's my dude, too. You know, me, him, and E-Man close. He's doing this thing right now. Shout out to Vic, man.
Is he still at Old Dominion?
Yeah, he's doing this thing, man. Vic, another guy, you know, he was a guy that dealt with injuries, but you talk about a guy that loves football. Vic was one of those dudes that loved football. You know, I remember when he got hurt at Oklahoma State. We used to go to, like, one of the kickboxing rooms in the what it was? Was it the COVID? That's how you – in a COVID, and they had like the dummies in there, like that you punch and stuff. And I remember he changed the name from the kickboxing room to the D line room, and we used to go in there and work different D line drills and all that. Like Vic would be a dude who used to carry like ladders and hurdles around in the back of his trunk. That's how much he really loved football. So shout out to him too.
Victor Irokansi. He needs to be in football for the rest of his life.
He loves the game. The rest of his life for real.
Yeah, doing his thing as a coach at Old Dominion. Man, VT, thank you for being on, man. Definitely love whenever some of our old teammates, some of our Cowboy football family can get back on and we can all chat it up.
I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you, Justin and Megan, for having me.
Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime. Before we wrap this up, guys, I have to just give a quick shout out. Big week for our women's golf team.
You know, yes.
I don't know how much of other OSU sports you follow, VT, but women's golf.
I've seen it on Instagram, yeah. Shout out to them.
Won Big 12 in both team and individual for the first time since 2016, seventh time overall. Madison Colchard won the individual title by one stroke. And another news. Baseball's Tyler Wolfert was named Big 12 Newcomer of the Week.
Let's go.
Hits in all four games, batted 600 on the week, going 9 for 15
after triple,
home run, and 6 RBIs. So baseball's streaking right now, and golf is back in action on the 8th. Men are currently playing this week in the Big 12 Championship. Women are back in action on the 8th in regionals to hopefully make it to the Natty. So.
Hey, that College World Series. I'm telling you, go ahead and get your tickets. OK State's going to be in it.
Speaking of
tickets,
I appreciate y'all.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Big, big thanks to VT the DT. We know what I will now be calling you. I wish you all the best.
You take that and run with it.
Can't wait to see where you are this season, how things play out for you after the draft. Good luck to all of the Cowboys this week. Hope you all get the call. Justin, Eve, I'm Meg. As always, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.